Welcome to
the most epic Holly Jolly
Christmas Showdown.
I'm Amanda Figueroa.
And I'm Adriana York, formerly Figueroa.
And we are just two sisters who love Christmas and competition. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
All right. We are in our last movie of the category, and there's just so much going on now. It's crazy. With all the Christmas that's happening and all the movies and the playoffs is coming up. It's wild.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
Yeah. But before we get into it, our weekly Christmas cheer. A little forewarning, if you hear purring in the background, we have a cat in the studio today. So he just wanted to be around us. And we're too weak to say no. So
yeah.
If you hear anything like that, that's our cat. But my weekly Christmas cheer, I'll start us off. So I had this idea a while ago to make these lawn decorations for my parents. They love to go all out, and they really love our pets. So me, Adriana, our other siblings, they have pets and they really love them. And my mom has at some point taken care of all of the pets when we've gone off to college and, you know, come back, or we've gone on trips. So I'm making these like pet lawn decorations that are Christmassy, and I'm excited for it.
Cute. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're turning out really good and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
My weekly Christmas cheer is I went to Old Navy last week,
mm-hmm.
and there was this red blazer that was on sale, and I was like, listen, I need a Christmas time blazer. So mm-hmm. I got it and I'm really excited. And it's like the perfect fit. It's going to be so cute and oversized and just really festive. And I can't wait to put it on.
Yeah, I'm so excited for the Christmas outfits.
Yeah. Hopefully the weather can catch up.
Yeah.
Because I'm currently sweating.
Yeah.
And all I want is like some sweaters and leggings or something and some booties. But we'll get there eventually. Might be after Christmas, but hey, if I have to wear Christmas outfits after Christmas just to get them in,
yeah,
I'll do it. I don't care. So, just a reminder, if you are new to the podcast or you have just forgotten, how our episodes work is that we are going to jump into a detailed summary of the movie. So, if you're not a fan of spoilers, take a pause here, go watch the movie. Today we are looking at A Small Town Christmas. You can watch it on Hallmark Channel, Hallmark Movies Now. So if you're not a fan of spoilers, take a pause, go find the movie and watch it. But if you don't mind a spoiler, we're going to tell you all about the movie in our summary coming up in just a second. And then after the summary, we will give our score for the movie. And we have five different categories in which we score our movies. They are plot, main characters, aesthetic, overall Christmas cheer, and supporting characters. So without further ado, let's get into it.
All right, Small Town Christmas. This is a 2018 Hallmark Movies and Mysteries original movie. The movie begins in a small town during Christmas, and we pan over to a woman reading a book called Small Town Christmas. The woman is the author, Nell Phillips, and she is promoting her first novel, which happens to be a bestseller. A fan mentions that she wishes that Derryville, the town in the book, was real, and Nell says it is based on a real town. Later on a talk show, Nell clarifies that she has never been to the town Springdale, but that an old co-worker slash friend had talked so much about his hometown at Christmas time that she couldn't help but write a story about it. This interview gives Nell's publisher, Caroline, the idea to tack on Springdale at the end of her book tour to visit as paying homage to the town that inspired the book.
Mm-hmm.
Caroline reaches out to Emmett, a Springdale bookstore owner and Nell's old co-worker slash friend. He is on board, and together they make an itinerary for Nell to come by. Caroline tells Nell of her surprise stop to Springdale, too, which seems to bother Nell, but not as much as finding out that Caroline talked to Emmett and now he's involved. We learn here that Emmett and Nell used to work together in New York City, and there was a connection, at least Nell thought. One night, Emmett planned a special night out with Nell, but then he never showed. And the next day, she found out that he quit his job and went back home to Springdale. Caroline asks if she reached out to Emmett, and Nell expresses that she sent a few texts but got no answer back. We then pan over to Emmett in his bookshop, and we meet Haley, his pregnant employee, and Jenny, a local that is friends with the two. Emmett lets Jenny and the mayor, who is also in the shop, know about bringing Nell to Springdale. Jenny asks what happened between the two of them, and Emmett recalls about this amazing date he had planned, but that then, quote unquote, everything happened and he came home. But he states that it was the best decision he ever made, and then we get a slow pan to a girl who's about 9 sitting on a chair reading a book, giving us this illusion that he has a kid, question mark.
She's at least somewhat involved in his decision-making.
Yeah.
To go back home.
Nell flies into an airport in Wisconsin a few hours from Springdale, and Caroline tells her that she reserved a rental car for her. At the rental car lot, a man comes in frenzied, asking for a last-minute reservation for a rental. The clerk says, sadly, she has rented out all the cars, and he asks if there's any other way to get to Springdale. Nell hears this and offers to share her rental because she is not sure about the directions, and since they're going to the same place, he can help. We find out this man is named Brad, and he is trying to buy some property in Springdale and make this small town a tourist destination for the Christmas season. Nell and Brad make it to the hotel in Springdale, and Brad goes to take the bags in. Meanwhile, Emmett walks by and sees Nell, and they see each other for the first time in years. The exchange is awkward and full of awe on both ends of seeing each other, and tension is thick until Brad shows up, promptly ending whatever was happening. Inside the hotel, Brad seems to ask Nell to go to the Christmas lighting ceremony with him, kind of like a date. The next morning, Emmett shows Nell around Springdale, where she finds out that he owns the bookstore. She meets Mrs. Ferguson, a local, and Steve, the owner of the local hardware store, and Haley's husband. Remember, Haley is the pregnant employee. We find out that it has been 6 years since Nell and Emmett last seen each other. They were having a conversation and we realize it's been 6 years. We pan over to the mayor's office where Brad is pitching his ideas for Springdale. Back at the bookshop, Emmett shows Nell around his meticulously organized bookstore. Nell remarks on how incredible the store is, but asks if he is still writing, as that is his passion as well. Haley appears in an excited flurry of questions for Nell, and Haley shares her amazement with how Emmett is friends with a bestseller. Nell makes a subtle but snippy comment that they are more of acquaintances, which is debunked quickly when Emmett gets her coffee order right down to the amount of sugar that is needed. Nell goes back to the hotel where she is trying to write her sequel novel, which Caroline, her publisher, has been asking and asking for new pages, but Nell is experiencing writer's block. At the bookstore, Jenny finds Emmett and asks where Marnie is. Through context clues, we find out Marnie is the little girl that we saw before in Emmett's store. He tells her that she is out shopping with Haley, and then Jenny asks Emmett how it was to see Nell again, and he confesses that it was weird and that he remembered her with more of a sense of humor, but now she's serious, and she never mentioned the letter he wrote to her explaining why he left. This letter was his way of answering her back because he felt like he couldn't answer her text So he just never answered her text back, and he was like, well, I'll explain it through a letter. Jenny tries to reason that maybe she's also nervous of this reunion and it's affecting her. We then go back to Nell, who decided to take a break from writing and is looking around the shops and ends up in a toy shop. In the toy shop, she runs into Marnie, who mentions she would also want to be a writer. Haley finds Marnie, and Nell asks if Marnie is her daughter. Haley says no, this is Emmett's kid, and she's just watching her for him. Nell is shocked by the news and promptly leaves the store. And then she spots Emmett and Steve down the road and tries to make a break for it. But Steve notices her, and Emmett comes over, much to her dismay. They get to talking and they start to get deep, and Emmett recalls some intimate topics that they talked about before, about family, about her family, all these things. And she's just shocked that he remembers all of it. This moment is again broken by the mention of Brad when Nell mentions she has to meet Brad for the Christmas lighting ceremony, and Emmett immediately withdraws. At the Christmas lighting ceremony, we see Nell and Brad walking and talking until Emmett comes in to chat with Nell. Brad also gets the call and walks off, and Marnie runs up to Nell and starts to invite Nell to all these events the next day before rushing off again. This girl, like, just runs in and then runs out. Nell and Emmett are left alone together, and they laugh at her behavior. And it's here Nell asks if she gets the enthusiasm for Christmas from him or her mother. This leaves Emmett kind of puzzled. He answers with a single word, Paige. As in, his sister, Paige. Nell is confused, and he mentions that Marnie is Paige's daughter, and so Nell asks, where is Marnie's parents? And he tells her that Marnie's parents died in a car accident when she was 3, and he came back to take care of her. Emmett begins to mention the letter, but Marnie comes up and grabs him to look at something, and he dashes off. Nell realizes that Emmett had left all those years ago to take care of Marnie. Nell goes to pick out a name for the town secret Santa game, and then the mayor gathers everyone to officially start their Kringle Fest, which is their whole activity, town activity thing for Christmas. The mayor mentions the changes that are in the works with an investment firm that Brad works for. The changes make the locals antsy, but Emmett helps calm the crowd and asks them to keep an open mind. Nell's called up to read a bit of her book, and then she begins signing books. During this, Brad is sitting with her trying to talk, but Nell is distracted looking for Emmett, who she sees leaving the ceremony with a sleeping Marnie on his shoulder. Back at the hotel, Nell is talking to Caroline about this whole situation, and Caroline is kind of rooting for Emmett. You know, she's like, between Brad and Emmett, I mean, I'm still on the Emmett train. Caroline does ask about Brad when Nell refuses to entertain the Emmett train, and it leaves Nell confused because she doesn't know what she wants. The next day, Nell runs into Marnie, and she begins talking to Marnie about Emmett and how he used to write, and Nell's surprised that he hasn't published anything in all these years. Emmett comes over to grab Nell for the radio interview, and during this interview, Nell keeps mentioning an old friend, Emmett, and they have this eye-locking moment while she's answering her questions, and that prompts them to get talking in the car afterwards. Nell asks how it was for him to come back to Springdale, and he mentions his challenges. Nell admires how Emmett gave up his dreams so that Marnie could have a more comfortable life. We quickly go over to the Christmas tree lot where Nell and Emmett go to look for a Christmas tree. It is here Emmett asks her to read some of his work, and Nell excitedly accepts. Emmett mentions how she inspired him so much and that he might be her biggest fan. They head over to his house to decorate the tree with Marnie, and Marnie confides in Nell that she got her uncle, Emmett for Secret Santa, but that she needs help, and Nell agrees to help her with her Secret Santa gift. We move from this happy moment to Jenny and her diner. Brad enters, and Jenny says that they are closed for the gingerbread competition, but he comes to talk about business, which makes Jenny frown a bit, and that's all we get. We go back to the happy moment of Emmett, Nell, and Marnie decorating the tree, and Emmett asks about Brad, and Nell says there's nothing to report and that they just met. Back at Jenny's diner, the gingerbread competition begins, and Nell is partnered with Brad, but he leaves her to talk to Emmett about buying his property. Brad asks Nell to put in a good word for him so that he can buy the property. The competition ends, and Emmett and Marnie win. The town heads outside for caroling, where Emmett and Jenny talk about Brad's offers. Both are unsure of what to do and are concerned about what would happen with the town afterwards. And then Emmett walks Nell home, and he shares his desire to stay in touch this time around. Nell asks why he never called, and he confesses he wanted to, but he didn't know if that was okay after all this time. Nell assured him that she would want to hear from him again. They again have a moment when they say goodbye, almost kiss-ish moment, but nothing comes from it. The next morning, the now sick Caroline calls to see how things are going, and Nell shares about how she's really seen Emmett in a new light. Caroline hopes this new perception inspires some pages for the new book, and after they hang up, Nell goes downstairs and sees Brad talking to some business people from his firm. Nell overhears, and Brad invites her to sit down with them, and while Brad is going over his plans for the town, Nell asks about Emmett's bookstore, and Brad shares that he would like to just update the antiquated system that they have for filing and transactions and modernize the place. Nell is uneasy with his response and tries to make a quick getaway, also making a snippy comment along the way. But Brad stops her and asks what he did wrong. Nell only states that she thinks she finally understands who Brad is, and then leaves. So, not a lot of information. Kind of leaves him in the dark. Nell goes to the diner and shares with Marnie an idea for her Secret Santa. Then Marnie, Jenny, and Emmett ask Nell what she's doing for Christmas, and the answer is nothing. They all try and convince her to stay, and she quickly agrees. There's not a lot of convincing. Nell takes Marnie ice skating, where she tries miserably to ice skate, and she also tries to help loosen Marnie up, because Marnie is a kid who only wants to do homework, doesn't want to go to recess, doesn't want to have fun. This girl is doing math problems during her Christmas break. Like, very uptight. And it's here that Nell assures Marnie that she is going to make her uncle and her parents proud no matter what. Emmett and Nell drop off Marnie with the babysitter, and they head to the bookstore for book club. They have another almost kiss moment, but are interrupted by the rest of the book club. During book club, they are talking about Nell's book, Small Town Christmas, when Mrs. Ferguson mentions that she hates Brad's proposals and that he will take away all the charm of the town. Steve and Haley chime in that maybe this would be a good thing, and the offer they got would help them with the cost of a new baby. Emmett shares that their traditions are what make Springdale the town that it is, and he is not selling for the fear of losing that. Tension gets thick, and Haley tries to bring them back to the book. Everyone starts to question Nell about the writing process and asks her if the main character was based on herself and all these different things. Nell confesses she's not sure about the main character, But she does realize she has some of the same qualities of focusing on her career rather than dating. Haley questions her about Brad because she thought Nell and Brad were together. Totally thought that they were dating. But Nell clarifies that she is not dating Brad and makes a pointed look at Emmett. Nell also points out that being in Springdale was so much more than she expected and shares that you can't just replace the things that are so special in Springdale. After book club, Emmett and Nell take a horse-drawn carriage ride, and Nell shares that she thinks Emmett's stories are fantastic and questions again why he's not published. Emmett shares that he is worried about Marnie, but Nell nips that argument in the bud, saying that Marnie is okay and that to be an even better role model, Emmett should pursue his dreams and go after what you really want. The next morning, we see Nell really engaged in the writing process for the first time. One thing that she mentioned in book club is that she never brings out the laptop until she has a clear direction of where her story wants to go. And all of a sudden, after book club, the next morning we see the laptop out. She's just typing away. Nell goes to have tea with Mrs. Ferguson, and Mrs. Ferguson questions Nell on what she wants in a relationship. And Nell is very vague again about what she wants, and she has a hard time vocalizing it. They are interrupted by Jenny, who burst in the door saying that Haley's in labor and that they should go to her house. The whole town basically shows up outside their house and gets the news that Haley and Steve had a baby girl. It is mentioned that the baby came early, though, and that the nursery was not finished, and so everyone bands together to help finish the job. It is here that we realize we need Steve to help finish the nursery. So, to relieve Steve, Nell and Mrs. Ferguson go to the hospital so that Haley isn't alone. We see Nell give her Secret Santa gift to Haley, so Haley was her Secret Santa, and it is a baby scrapbook with, like, the pages all done, and all she has to do is put the pictures in. Back at Steve's house, Steve mentions to Emmett that he wants to take the offer from Brad, and Jenny agrees. The mayor shares the unfortunate news that the offer of all three properties, Steve, Jenny, and Emmett, has to be accepted, or Brad might pull the plug on the whole thing. Emmett is kind of forced into an uncomfortable position, and he's kind of being backed into a corner by everyone. We move to a hall where the town is setting up for Kringlefest, and Mrs. Ferguson notices a bunch of business people who we find out is Brad's colleagues. The colleagues share that they hate this blue and white polished decoration theme, and Jenny quickly swoops in to share that this is not how they usually decorate and shows them pictures of what they usually do.
Yeah, she said, don't think that this is the standard, because it's not.
Yeah. The colleagues are disappointed in Brad's vision because this is not the unique picture of Christmas they were promised. Nell is back at the hotel, and she finds this iPad on the table and decides to snoop. And she finds Brad's plans for the town, which is a giant modern hotel. And she goes and asks the clerk where Brad is, and he said he already left. So she heads out. Nell goes to the hall in search of Brad, and she sees Emmett about to sign away the property to Brad. Nell turns to Emmett and goes off. She states, "I thought you said Springdale was more than dollars or cents." To which Emmett tries to respond, he's doing what everyone thinks is best. Nell basically says that argument is stupid. And Emmett turns around and claims that, quote, "If she thought Springdale was so great, why did it take 6 years to come by?" End quote. To which Nell retorts that if she had heard back from a certain someone, maybe she would have. Anyways, it's just a bad argument. But Nell finishes it by showing Emmett Brad's plans before she storms out. Emmett and the locals confront Brad and tear up their contracts because this was not what they were promised. Caroline calls Nell, and Nell mentions that she does not belong in Springdale and is getting ready to leave. During the Secret Santa exchange, Marnie gives her gift to Emmett, which is a story she wrote with Nell's help. Emmett, realizing how much Nell has helped, chases after her. And meanwhile, Brad and his colleagues discuss how to help Springdale without changing it. Nell is found with a flat tire, and Emmett confesses that she was right. They share a moment again where they finally kiss. And we move to Christmas morning, where Nell's with Emmett and Marnie. They exchange gifts, where Nell gets a present of an ornament of her and Emmett. And that is the end of Small Town Christmas.
Okay, plot.
What'd you think?
I gave it a whole whopping 1 candy cane out of 5.
Wow.
I just felt like from the very first second, you knew exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah.
This was the most Hallmark movie of Hallmark movies that we've watched so far.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, honestly, I started watching this movie before we even recorded the last podcast, and I didn't finish it until this morning because I had mentioned to you earlier, but it, for some reason, like, I would get to one point and then stop because it's like, you know exactly what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
like, within 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you literally learn, okay, Nell and Emmett, they are long-lost lovers. They're gonna come back together. Brad, he's actually a raging jerk who's trying to bring down the town.
Yeah.
And Marnie, I mean, like, Marnie was the biggest shock.
Yes and no.
Like, yeah, but, like, you could assume.
Yeah.
She was his daughter, but then, like, 30 minutes in, we find out she's his niece. And that's it. And then, like, we all know about the letter. We all know about, like, their hurt for each other, or, like, they mm-hmm. were both hurt by each other, and that was it. Like, it was cute, and I have notes on other things, but, like, the plot overall was kind of, like, you gave it away.
Yeah.
So there was nothing, it left nothing to the imagination.
Yeah, I gave it 2 candy canes out of 5. Again, typical Hallmark plot. I found it really annoying, honestly, because, like you said, we know that they were going to get together in the end. We know that there was miscommunication, misunderstanding about what the heck happened all those years. But they were just really drawing out this drama between the main characters to try and make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
I just said it, this all could have been avoided by just saying what happened in the first place when they first saw each other.
Yeah.
And then they would have lived happily ever after.
And this movie would have been 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
So.
I see what you mean, too. It felt like it was very long and yet very short. Because if I understand that, like, there was this one part that it felt like I was struggling to get through. So the Christmas lighting ceremony, I couldn't get past it. But then all of a sudden, once you did get past it, then it felt like, oh, we're at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, this is actually, it felt like a short movie, even though it's still 2 hours long. And yet, like, the first part of it felt like it was forever. It was just this weird thing where I kind of felt like I was in, like, Groundhog's Day, almost. Like, that movie where it's, like, you just keep waking up in the same day.
Yeah.
Because the same stuff was happening. They would interact. They wouldn't talk about what happened 6 years ago, but it was always alluded. They almost get, like, how many times was there a moment that I had that they shared and then got interrupted? It just felt like the same thing over and over again, just a different spot.
Yeah.
Why I gave it 2 candy canes was that there was some dynamics between the supporting characters and the main characters that I did like.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the supporting characters at times helped give it variety.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no. It was just very vanilla.
Yeah. I address the supporting characters in the supporting character category.
Oh, I'm going to address them in the supporting character category, but I felt like...
They aided in the plot.
They aided in the plot in that it gave it some more life than this just, like, completely linear plot. Like, yeah. There's nothing different about it. It was the same... It was, like, one scene
in terms of... It was, like, very cyclical.
Yeah. It was just, like, the same... scene being reused over and over again until the end where things changed.
Yeah.
Until the last they finally 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's about it, you know?
So, well, did it, you know, your theory about Hallmark movies and how they have a, what's the word? Like, they have the breakup or, like, the fight 20 minutes at the end?
Yeah.
Did it? Did it follow that?
It did follow the fallout. Okay. In that she gets mad at Emmett. There's 25 minutes left in the movie. 20 minutes or something like that. And then
there was 20 whole minutes after that?
I honestly think this one might have been shorter, but it's like at the very end, there's this fallout.
Okay. I think it was like the last 10 minutes.
But... honestly.
Okay, moving on to main characters. First off, who is the main character or characters for you?
Nell and Emmett.
Okay, I agree. Great.
Yeah.
What'd you give them?
Gave them 2.5 candy canes out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nell was pretty vanilla. There was nothing much to the character. She was a typical Hallmark female lead. She was just very one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
There's just nothing to her. It wasn't, like, she wasn't, like, ever really angry or ever really hurt. Like, she had those emotions, but it wasn't, like, it felt like they weren't that deep, even though they should have been, you know? Yeah. You're talking about this guy who you pretty much, you're, like, the one that got away. And you're, like...
She did call him that in the book.
Yeah, and then it's, like, you don't blow up on him at some point.
Yeah.
Like, not until the very end. And it's not even about the whole situation, really. I don't know. She was just very vanilla and just, like just not much of anything.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Emmett, I thought, had personality. Like, there was times where I enjoyed him, but then there was really iffy things about him that I didn't like. Like, he ghosted Nell. And he doesn't want to acknowledge that, like, that could have hurt her. Like, he just... I can understand why she was annoyed. Like, he acts like everything's fine. I'm like, you ghosted her. And you thought a letter was going to help that? I don't know. And then, when she does show up, then he was, like, kind of overly obsessive. Like, he was, like... you know, showing, like, it was, like, he was kind of possessive. Like, he was showing people, I know her. Like, this is my lady. And I'm like, you know, it's been 6 years.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
You know? And overall, they didn't communicate, and I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated their dynamic. It's like they said nothing out of saying a whole bunch of words.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I gave them 3 candy canes out of 5 candy canes.
Okay.
And actually, I feel the opposite from you.
Really?
I liked Nell a whole lot more than I liked Emmett. And I feel like it's like this one tiny little bit in the beginning, the very beginning of the movie, that kind of explains why she's so, like, flatline.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like... he hurt me. She was talking to her editor.
Yeah.
And she was like, he hurt me, and I'm not going to let that happen again. Like, I'm not going to, like, I'm not showing any emotion, basically.
Mm.
And she did just that.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was pretty great, but you had to catch that little bit.
Yeah.
Because...
I missed that part.
She was super boring, but, like, she was like, I'm going to be stoic, and I'm not going to give him anything. Like, because she said he left as soon as she opened up. So, like, when they were having, like, their connection, when they were working together, she had finally opened up, and then all of a sudden, boom, ghost. And, like, major ghost.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I liked her character because it made sense. Like, I would feel that way, too. If my editor was like, oh, hey, this guy who, like, royally broke your heart and, like, you never got closure on, he's going to be showing you around his town that you based your book off of and are secretly madly in love with him, like, have fun. I'd be upset if I were her.
Yeah.
And I would be, like, you know, very distant and, like, not want to get to know you mm-hmm. because, like, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
And so I liked her, and I liked how she interacted with the supporting characters. Like, I felt like she just lit up with them, and I enjoyed that a lot. But I do have qualms with her. Like, she really thought Marnie was his daughter. Like,
that's so stupid.
She's 9 years old. He left 6 years prior. Like, he found out he had a kid. Like, I think we needed, for that to make sense, we needed, like, a whole lot more information in the back.
Like, it couldn't have been revealed that Marnie was not his daughter until later. Because, you know, like maybe someone was like, oh, yeah, like, I remember when he had this. Like, they should have put in, like, a hometown sweetheart for him.
Yeah.
And then her mistake them together. I felt like Haley, they shouldn't have revealed that she was married to another man.
Yeah.
I felt like Nell should have been able to mistake Haley for his significant other.
Yeah.
And that, like, they were, like, hometown sweethearts, and then she had, like, a baby, and then she told him.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, dude, you can't think a little bit that, like, the timing of him leaving
doesn't match up with her age.
Yeah. And then also, like,
and then you knew,
how long was he living in New York? Like, did you know him well enough to know if he went and spent, like, a weekend at home or something? Like,
well, the thing is that she knew who Marnie was. Like, he mentioned Paige.
Yeah.
And then she goes, oh, that Marnie. Like, she couldn't put two and two together that Marnie was the same Marnie that his sister
had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, that was so dumb.
I know. I was like, obviously, this is why you're a writer, because you can't do simple math. And then my main issue was with Emmett. He was just, like, okay, again, I liked his interactions mm-hmm. with the supporting characters, mm-hmm. hated his interactions with her.
That's fair.
He was, like you said, oddly obsessive. And he was, like, oddly creepy. Like,
yeah.
Whistling or walking around whistling. And then he just so happens to pass the inn as she shows up to check in. And he's like, Nell! And also the way that he said her name in that moment really bothers me.
Yeah.
But I hated how he was just, like, so offended that she didn't know everything. So you're telling me, you were telling me that she texted you multiple times, you ghosted her, and you're offended that she didn't read a letter that you sent to the office
that you guys used to work at, not thinking that maybe she left?
Or, like, not thinking that maybe they're, like, this is a workplace.
Yeah.
You are not receiving personal mail.
Do you not know where she lived? Like, it seemed like you guys were very close. Like, you couldn't send it to her house.
Or, like, you can't be like, hey, like, even just send a text, hey, I sent you a letter
explaining everything
with things that are hard for me to talk about
over text.
I hope you got it.
Yeah, no follow-up.
And every single time she mentioned anything, he was so offended. He's like, Marnie, my niece. Yeah, my sister died in a car accident. Like, I wrote it in the letter. Well, if she's not aware, don't you think maybe she didn't read the letter?
And then what I also didn't like was that anytime Brad was mentioned, he goes, he did the Hallmark thing. He's like, oh, Brad, and then just withdraws. And I'm like, I think you should ask about it.
He withdrew, but then also at times he was, like, kind of aggressive.
He did, like, show up when they were walking together, and he was like, hi.
Yeah, being, like, super macho. I was like, Emmett, it's not a good look on you.
No, it's not. I think when I say I like his personality at times, I liked how he interacted with other characters.
Yeah.
I didn't like how they interacted with each other.
Yeah, no, it was,
like, at all.
Quite awful.
But
I understood Nell's perspective in their interactions, and I did not understand Emmett's perspective.
And that was the homework thing where I wish I would have caught that part for Nell, because it was at the beginning and then they never address it again.
Yeah, they don't ever address it. Like she never, her editor could have easily been like, so I know you mentioned like that you were going to be reserved, like you weren't going to get emotionally involved, but I'm hearing you talk a lot about emotions. Like, you could have just done like a little something to remind the audience.
Yeah, because otherwise she just looked flat.
Yeah.
I wish that there was more of a struggle, though, too.
Yeah.
Of, like, her, like, wanting to be reserved and then her wanting to be, like, involved. And I think those conversations with her publisher needed to be more than what they were. They were kind of just, like, moments to fill in the time.
Yeah.
But I wish they made them more meaningful. Like, her being like, I'm really struggling right now because I want to, I feel like I'm understanding him more. And I want to, like, pursue it, but I'm also very scared and, like, I don't want to give myself over again. Like, I think those conversations would have helped round her out altogether.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that, so she just seemed flat.
And I wish we would have gotten more from Emmett. Like, he seemed... I feel like what they were trying to get at was that he was, like, really struggling with his sister's death and, like... you know, raising Marnie and everything. And so he was trying to cover all of his, like, negative emotions with, like, this happy-go-lucky, mm-hmm. like, put-on-a-mask sort of feel.
Yeah.
But, like, it didn't come off that way. Like, I think I'm actually just reading too far into it. And I hope that that was the case. But, like, I would have wanted more understanding of that. All right, moving on. Aesthetic.
I gave it 4 candy canes out of 5.
Wow. Okay. And
what I really liked about it were these transition scenes that they had in the movie. So, you know, when they're transitioning from one area to the next and just, like, it was just so decorated. For a town that's supposed to be about Christmas, I did feel like there was these very, like, clear moments of, like, this is Christmas. This is a Christmas town. The hotel, beautiful. When we move to the tree lighting ceremony, there's that whole, like, montage of, like, all the different things that are there. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I was, like, taking it in. I was just like, that's so great. And I loved all the events that they were doing, like this whole Kringle Fest thing, the Secret Santa, the gingerbread, you know. I really liked it. Visually.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt like I liked the traditional look to it, and I liked, you're gonna also probably like it too, I liked that the opposite of it that didn't represent the town was the blue and white sterile kind of theme.
Yeah.
I do like blue and white, but when it's all that, I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah.
So I like that contrast where they're like, no, we're like traditional red, green.
Yeah.
Explosion. And Brad's vision was like blue, crisp, clean, neat. And because I'm more of the traditional. So I liked that dynamic and visually that made me happy.
Yeah.
I liked how they dressed Brad. I felt like Brad was dressed very well.
Yeah.
Very
appropriate.
Very appropriate for...
Very villain. Hallmark mm-hmm. villain.
Yeah. Nell felt kiddish. To Bro. Me. They like, dressed her like a child, almost.
She had... There were outfits that were, like, redeeming,
but I overall, liked her in the sweaters. The sweaters yes. were very good.
Yes. There sweaters was one good. Collared top that I really liked. It was white, and it had, like, white pearls on the collar. And that was cute.
I would have been up for it, but I just felt like that it was fitting in a certain theme that I didn't really enjoy.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. And I was like, I would have liked that. But her hair and makeup were just, like, average. I think that with her makeup, she can get away with a lot because she has, like or not a lot, but she can get away with minimal mm-hmm. because her eyes are so striking.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of worked out.
Yeah.
I liked how the locals kind of looked like normal people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't, like, overly dressed up. I loved Haley's sweater at the beginning. Mm. I kind of liked how they dressed Haley. Like, she looked like a cute pregnant wife, you know? Yeah. And then the guys were very typical for what I've seen in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just was like, that was good. Executed well.
Yeah.
I really gave it to the decorations, and specifically these scenes where you're transitioning from one place to another. Like, you saw it on the street, like all the decorations and like the nutcrackers and stuff like that. You saw it in the hotel, you know. It was just like in all these little parts throughout the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I like how it was, how visually appealing it was.
Mm-hmm.
Though I did rate it 3 candy canes out of 5.
Mm.
And mostly for the costuming, like, I like the decorations, and I typically, like, will keep the Christmas decor in the overall Christmas cheer.
Yeah, and I don't do that.
Yeah, but I like what you said. Like, I like how each place had a specific feel. Like, the bookstore
mm-hmm.
looked like a bookstore, mm-hmm. and I liked its vibes. And the diner looked like a diner, and I liked its vibes. And, like, the inn was super cute. Like, it felt like it would be in a small town, like an inn in a small town. So I did enjoy all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was very fun visually.
Mm-hmm.
Except for when it came to costuming.
I agree.
I think Brad was appropriate, and I have to remind myself that it... this was a 2018 movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what Nell was wearing...
Was in.
But I still hated it.
Yeah.
Like, I liked, I guess, probably the pops of 2023 that were in it. Mm-hmm. Like, at one point, she did have a little bit of an oversized Christmas sweater. And she was wearing skinny jeans and booties. And I was like, cute, magnifique, love it.
Mm-hmm.
But all of the fitted sweaters, I was just like, oh, this is kind of gross. She was wearing this one top that really, really bothered me. It was one top.
Mm-hmm.
But, so it was mostly navy with white polka dots. And then, like, the collar part was kind of, like, a heathered gray.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of looked like there was, like, a sweatshirt underneath. And, like, the last 4 inches of the top or whatever were, like, a heathered gray, and it mm-hmm. looked like she was having, like, a layered moment, and they just weren't the same vibe, but it was all one top, and it was hideous. It's mm-hmm. at the beginning when she first, like, her first morning at Springdale,
uh-huh.
when she's going through the bookshop.
Yeah.
I literally hated it so much.
You know, which one I actually hated was the, when they were decorating the tree with the, like, the reindeer, and it was, like, that mustard color, mm-hmm. and again, it was, like, it was a one-shirt moment, but it had, like, the collar popping out.
Yeah.
And then the skirt, she looked like Winnie the Pooh.
She did have this, like, very preppy child moment a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ew. Like, the only collared shirt that I liked was the one with the pearls on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a cute little touch. It kind of elevates it a little bit. But, mm-hmm. yeah, overall, I think... the costuming was just a fail. I was looking at Marnie's outfits, too, and, like, yeah, she looked regular. There's only one sweater, really, that's popping in mine, and I was like, mm-hmm. those colors just didn't work for her.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. And then I hated how they dressed Emmett. Like, I don't know why he always looked offended. Like, even in his outfits, like, he always just looked offended. And I was like, mm-hmm. ew, get away. But, yeah. I did like how they dressed Haley.
Yeah.
A lot. But, yeah, I felt like, it was good. I've seen better.
Yeah.
Okay, overall Christmas cheer.
So I gave it 2.5 candy canes out of 5.
Interesting.
I felt that all the cheer, the Christmas cheer, was in the activities and the decoration, but... when you really look at the storyline and the plot, I just kind of felt, again, there was all this miscommunication. Brad was being very sneaky. I know he was the villain of mm-hmm. it all. But I also didn't like how Steve, Jenny, all of them were kind of, like, pressuring things. Like, Jenny was kind of confusing to me. How she's like, I want tradition, but I can't. Like, I understand that's a normal struggle. It's like, I want to keep this, but also, like... the offer is something I really need to take, But, like, towards the end, she kind of became pushy with Emmett. At times, the people kind of felt fake. Mm. And I didn't like the dynamics when it came to, like, seeming like they were there for each other. But then, when it came to Brad's stuff, they weren't. Mm. They weren't unified, you know. And then they show up at the end, and they're like, no, this is how we usually do things. And then all of a sudden, they're banding together, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I just felt like the cheer was lost on me. Like, I got the cheer when I would see the decorations, and I felt like, oh, this is, like, great. And it inspired me in certain things. But in terms of, like, I guess the warm, fuzzy feelings, it wasn't there. Mm. Mm.
I rated it 4 candy canes out of 5.
Oh, so they were there for you.
They were. So, well, also take into account, I am putting the Christmas decorations in this category.
Uh-huh.
And I loved how everything was decorated.
Yeah.
Everything was Christmas. Like, I want to go to Springdale for Christmas. And even Marnie's bedroom, like, it was just one tiny little snippet. Like, they weren't in her bedroom for long.
No.
It was maybe 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That had Christmas decorations.
Yeah.
Like, they did not skimp
mm-hmm.
on the Christmas decorations they at all.
No.
I do have an issue with how Marnie decorates her Christmas tree.
Yeah. And then it was, like, perfect all of a sudden.
Yeah. It like really grossed me out. They just throw tinsel. Like, that's apparently her tradition. And I'm like, that is disgusting. Get out of here. Get out of town. But
then you, like, saw the tree and you're like, that tinsel is meticulously placed.
Oh, okay. And then the tinsel wrapping around Nell's arm just perfectly.
Yeah.
So accidentally perfect. Okay. Hallmark. Whatever. But then Emmett looks awful. Like, the tinsel on him looks awful.
Yeah.
It actually looks like it's thrown on, and Nell looks like she placed it perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, could be, like, a male-female thing, but I hated that. It really made me mad. But then I, like, you said that people, like, felt fake and, like, they didn't seem like they banded together. I loved the community aspect in the movie. I think for me, like, all of the times that you're mentioning were just so small. Like, uh-huh. they were just small snippets. And everything else, like, I just loved. Like, I loved how Jenny and Haley would really help Emmett out when it came to Marnie.
Yeah.
And I loved, what's her name? Mrs. Ferguson?
Yeah.
I just loved her character. Like, she was just, like, one. The sweet old lady of the town.
Uh-huh.
Like, I liked how everybody was, like, in everybody's business. Like, That's what a small town should be in my eyes.
And I can see where you like that. That's one of the things that also, like, I like community, but I like also, I don't like to feel pressured. You know? So I wouldn't necessarily love if everyone knew all of my business and had an opinion to say about it.
Mm.
Like, I know you guys know all my business, but, like, I also don't feel like I and being pushed one way or another. I felt like in some ways that small town vibe really, like, made me a little claustrophobic and, like, no, then let me do things.
Yeah. But I think as far as, like, when it came to Christmas stuff,
it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them. So that's why I gave them 4 candy canes out of 5.
Mm.
Supporting characters.
Yeah. So pretty much it was everyone else in the movie.
Marnie, Haley, Jenny,
Steve, Mrs. Ferguson, the mayor, Brad. There was, like, the two clerks that said 2 lines, but that was about
her editor, her publisher.
Oh, Caroline. I kind of forgot about her. I don't really incorporate her. She didn't really do much.
I didn't think about her too much.
Yeah. Anyways, what'd you give them?
I gave them 4 candy canes out of 5.
Wow. I gave them 3.
Yeah. I really enjoyed them. I think that they carried the movie, because, like I said, I really only liked the main characters because of their interactions mm-hmm. with the supporting characters.
I would agree.
So I liked that they brought the main characters to life, mm-hmm. whereas it would have been very dull without the supporting characters.
I agree.
I loved, like, just their enthusiasm. Like, everybody was so enthusiastic almost all the time. And I get how you could feel how, like, they were being fake. But when it came to the sales and everything, too, I'm like, they were real. Like, they're business owners. And they're not doing well. Like, they probably have been looking for an out like this for a while.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I respect that they're all like, listen, I need to sell. And like, I think that it was very fair of them to kind of pressure Steve because pressure Emmett because he was like the only one who was like on the fence. You know, everybody else was like, I'm going to sell. And then Brad and his like cowardly little self went up to the mayor and was like, if I don't get yeses from everyone, I'm going to rescind the offers. Like, Brad.
Well, he also wasn't honest about, I can understand, like, where they thought that their stores were going to be preserved. Maybe I just don't have that much faith in people who want to, like, buy property.
Oh, yeah. No, they were all idiots.
But he was, like, saying, oh, yeah, I would keep it the way it is. And then he, like, was going to tear it all down for, like, this huge, like...
Did he say that to the mayor, though? Like, I'm trying to remember back to his initial meeting with him, and I feel like he told the mayor, like, I want to develop it.
Yeah, he did, and I don't think the mayor was an idiot, honestly.
No, they all were very bad business people.
Yeah, because he didn't ask the right questions to figure things out.
Yeah.
So.
And then the mayor is one who's also... like, tearing up an offer. I don't know what the mayor was offered, like, what papers he was tearing up at the end, but I was like, okay.
Well, and it also doesn't make sense, like, you know, Christmas at the drive-in, the mayor was, like, pushing for development, because, like, we asked later on our dad, like, why was the mayor pushing for it? And he was like, I think they do get, like, some sort of benefit from it. And so I'm like... like, I felt like the mayor should have also been a little bit more of the villain, because there would have been a benefit for him.
I think he was meant to be, and, like, so I hated his flip-floppiness at the end.
Yeah.
I think he just wanted to, like, stay cordial with everybody else and, like, be on everybody's good side.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I overall really liked the supporting characters, and I think that they made sense. Like... Mm. I think if I were drowning too, if I were a business owner in a small town that just, like, you know, I couldn't make ends meet, like, I would probably really have to consider an offer. And if somebody was, like, saying, no, I'm not going to sell my shop and I'm putting your offers at risk, I'd be like, listen, dude, you don't even know why you want to keep this store. Like, I need this.
Yeah.
So I would probably band together too against Emmett and be like, hey dude, like, for this town, like, the town is made up of its people, and us as the townspeople are struggling, so like, I need you to sell. I would do the same thing. So like, I liked the realistic aspect of all the supporting characters.
I for the most part I did enjoy them. There's just a couple things that, like, I felt like they could have elevated in, so they're pretty average for me. I felt like Marnie, again, it was more like how you felt about Audrey in Christmas Bedtime Stories, where, like, the actress was older than what she was playing.
Yeah.
And then... she's supposed to be 9, and yet she was acting oddly older than 9, and then younger than 9.
Yeah.
Like, I'm tired. And he's like, we gotta get you to bed. And he carries her out of the Christmas lighting ceremony.
Yeah.
And she's, like, asleep on his shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's, like, what a 6-year-old would do. But then she's also doing algebra.
In what, 4th or 5th grade?
Yeah. On a Christmas break, and he's like, yeah, she just likes to do her homework.
She skips out on recess.
And I'm like,
to do extra work.
What is she, a 15-year-old girl? Like, it was like, I couldn't place her age, and so that was also, that was confusing to me.
Well, I just didn't understand why we needed that.
Yeah.
With her. Like,
it was some weird...
let her just be a niece.
Like, yeah.
Why is she so studious and, like, obsessed with her academics?
Yeah.
That's an aspect and, that we didn't need.
And, it, like, it was never fully explained. Like, she just didn't want to disappoint anyone. I'm like, did...
Well, he did... said that she feels like a burden. So she, like... felt like she just needs to make her own way. Like, as soon as she becomes an adult, she's no longer going to be a burden. Like,
yeah.
But they could have expanded on that because it made no sense.
I also think that in some ways, them being, like, too nice... like, they all loved Emmett so much. But I'm like, I feel like you're enabling behavior that he should have fixed.
Mm.
Like, Jenny, when they were talking, and he was like... She goes, you never reached out to her? And he's like, yeah, she sent me a few texts, but I never answered. I sent her a letter. And she goes, you sent her a letter? And I liked that, but I was just kind of like, then she kind of like glosses over it. And she's like, well, maybe she's nervous. I felt like I would have been like, you ghosted her, dude. Did you ever follow up with the letter? Like, she never mentioned it. Do you know if she ever got it? Like, have you talked to her about this letter? You know? And so some of, like, Emmett's behavior, I felt like, should have been addressed.
Yeah.
Especially with how close Jenny and Haley are with him. One of the things that made me feel weird was, this is a small town. I wish, in some ways, they would have expanded a little bit more on, like, the whole town. Because it really felt at some points that it was only just, like, six people
living in the town. Legitimately, I agree.
And so, I think part of it was that they were almost too close that no other people in the town existed. Like, I wish it was a bigger community feel.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I honestly would sit there and I'm like... why would Jenny bust in through the door of Mrs. Ferguson's to say, Haley's in labor?
Yeah.
You know, I understand that they're close. And, like, that makes sense. But, like, then the whole town is at their house, but then it's only those six people.
Yeah.
Like, and then maybe a random Joe that showed up.
Yeah.
And I was like...
well, I was kind of wondering, I was like, how is a bookshop even thriving? Like, yeah. How is a bookshop making it? It's got to be the coffee that they're selling.
Yeah.
Because there ain't no way there's enough people in that town to buy all those books. Especially all of those books that he bought of Nell's. I have an issue with that. And maybe it'll go into my cringe.
Yeah.
He had so many books of hers that he bought. And then listen to this. At the tree lighting ceremony, they were giving them away. Like, when she was signing the books, like... I don't know, maybe they paid a ticket to get into the tree lighting ceremony, but I highly doubt it. But, like, the mayor was just giving people a book for her to sign.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how...
how is she making money?
How is he making a profit? He ain't gonna sell those because everybody's already got the book. Like, maybe they get visitors from nearby towns, but how many?
Yeah. So...
and how many are visiting that bookshop to buy that book? Like, that really made me mad.
Well, maybe now people know that it's, like, in Springdale. Maybe they're like, let's buy the book in the town that it was written.
Maybe. Like, I guess some book nerd could be like that.
But that's very few and far between, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's how I felt about them. I liked them, and yet there's some things about it that was just kind of weird for me.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so now we're getting into our totaling. I gave... Small Town Christmas a total of 14 candy canes out of 25.
And I gave Small Town Christmas a total of 15 candy canes out of 25.
14 and a half candy canes out of 25. But we have the cringe factor. Dun, dun, dun.
Dodge the falling icicles.
Dodge. What'd you give it?
I gave it 2 icicles out of 5.
Yeah.
You also gave it 2?
2.
Yeah, it was just like... like I mentioned earlier, it was the most Hallmark movie that we have seen so far.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tough. Like, everything just worked out perfectly, and you knew exactly what was gonna happen.
Yeah.
So when everything happened, it was just, like, really, mm-hmm. like, it was just cringy. Like, throw me some sort of plot twist. Like, make me guess a little bit.
Yeah. I think most of my cringe was carried between the Nell and Emmett situation. You know, it was just like, just get it over with. And then there was the interaction, like, again, Emmett bought all those books, A Small Town Christmas, put it all on one shelf. It was like 15 books, maybe more. You don't know how many others are in a box, you know. Yeah. How many did he actually order? And it's like that, and just, it's just weird, you know? They could have made it more natural, and they didn't, and then it was just, like, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To watch. I also hated the subplot with Brad being a potential love interest.
I was literally gonna say that just now.
Like, if that's the direction that you're gonna go, put it in that direction. I mean, but if you, like, we knew that she was gonna be with Emmett, so the whole subplot with Brad was pointless. She wasn't even really interested in Brad. Yeah. And
he was just kind of there.
Yeah. And I'm like, make him the villain or make him like the potential love interest. Like, you know, and then make that dynamic known, you know? It was pretty clear within like 45 minutes, maybe even earlier than that, that she wasn't into Brad.
Yeah.
Like, it was after the Christmas tree lighting ceremony. She's signing books and he's literally talking to her. Also trying to have his own moments. Like, I felt like Brad was actually into her.
Yeah.
And
no, I think he was. Like, when he was like, did I do something? Like, he actually seemed hurt.
Yeah. And he's, like, trying to talk to her and engage with her. And she's, like, she's making, like, snippy comments again. Like, he's, like, I think something. Like, you know, we can head out whenever you want. You know, probably wanting to, like, pull her aside, like, talk to her some more. And she goes, no, anyone who wants to meet me, I, like, will love to meet them. And then she's, like, not even paying attention to the people that are trying to get their book signed. She's looking for Emmett.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah, the awkward tension between all of them was just, like, awful.
Yeah.
Like, the tension between, from Nell to Emmett. Weird. Yeah. The tension from Brad to Nell. Weird. Mm-hmm. The tension from Emmett to Nell. Weird. Emmett to Brad. Weird. Like, it's just, like, weird.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so Hallmark that it was disgusting. And then, yeah, I think a lot of the cringe also is just, like, Brad. Like, well, him sneaking. It was, for some reason, he was talking business. The only time he talked business outside of an event was when he went to the diner to talk to Jenny.
Yeah.
Like, other than that, he was sneaking conversations with people at all of these events trying to talk business and trying to make sales. And I'm like, you're obviously a very bad salesperson.
Yeah. The other thing that got me was at the end when Nell and Emmett have their argument. And she's getting mad at Emmett. I understand the conviction that he had, but she didn't know the situation, and he's trying to kind of explain it, and she wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, you know, she kind of, like, throws Brad's plans out there, like, as if he should have known this was gonna happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, he obviously, they were being told that they were gonna, it was gonna stay the same.
Well, also, why is she getting mad at him? He was the only one who didn't want to sell.
Yeah.
And she, yeah, like you said, she didn't know the situation, and she's just getting mad at him. And he's like, listen, dude, like, I'm trying to look out for all of my friends, and all my friends are saying that they're struggling, and they need to sell right now, so I have to sell so I can help out my friends.
You know?
And she's just getting mad at him.
And then I'm like, part of the things that you admired about him was, like, that he sacrificed a lot for the people that he cares about. And here he is doing the same thing all throughout, and you're irritated with him. And I'm like, you know, and then, yeah, sometimes it feels like it's contradictory to what I was saying about, like, the townspeople. I didn't like how they pushed him, but I also do appreciate that he was like, okay, like, I'm gonna probably set my own feelings aside to, if he was pretty much like, if this is what's best for the town, then maybe I should just set it aside.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, she kind of like throws the iPad at him and was like, here. Like, he should have known that Brad was going to tear everything down and turn it into this weird, ugly hotel thing.
Have they never watched a Hallmark movie? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. You know? And then I just was, I found it annoying. I understand we addressed her, like, reservations. But she still didn't address why she was, like, she hadn't shown up until this blow up. And I'm like, you waited this long? And then again, the fight wasn't even really about it. You know, Emmett was kind of like, he had to bring it up because he was kind of like, if you care about this town so much, why did it take you forever to come by? You know? And then she goes, well, if a certain someone, and I mean, again, her anger is justified. It's just like, you never brought it up. You were never going to bring it up. Like, she was never going to bring it up.
Yeah.
Unless he brought it up first. Yeah. You know, and that irritated me.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm very much the opposite. Like, if I need to talk about something with someone, I'm going to talk about it. And Hallmark doesn't do that.
Yeah.
They're just, like, full of avoiders. And it really bothers me because I'm like, you're just stringing us along for nothing. Like, yeah. We know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If only they would just, somebody would bring it up and they would talk.
Yeah. That means that we have to slice 4 candy canes from our score, which gives us a total score of 10.5 candy canes out of 25, ending Miracles of Christmas, ending our category rounds, and going into playoffs. Exciting. So who's moving on in this category? We have first place with Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas with 12 candy canes out of 25. In second place, Small Town Christmas with 10.5 candy canes out of 25. Those two are moving on. And then we have in third place, The Christmas Note with 6.75 candy canes out of 25. And in last place, Christmas Bedtime Stories with 6.25 candy canes out of 25.
Yeah, it's time for playoffs.
Time for playoffs. And so let's explain a little bit of what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
So we have a bracket.
Yeah.
You can explain more of the bracket because you've got that.
Okay. Our bracket is a two-way bracket that works its way in. So we will make sure to post the visual on our socials so that you can see it. But we took our highest scoring movies, they have moved on immediately to our second round. And we have our first round with our lowest scores making it through. So each week we will cover 4 movies in each round. And based on their scores, they will move on to the next round.
Yes. So we are thrilled and we are getting serious about it. Ladies and gents, it's time to strap on our shoes and get to play in. We are going to have a whole entire grading rubric so that everybody is, you know, they kind of know, like, what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. And we can probably post that on social, too, so that you guys can follow along. Mm-hmm. We're going to have guest judges come in, I should say, and give us their opinions as well. What we're thinking, because it is 4 movies per week, we'll probably have one of our family members watch each movie with us, and then the other 3 will work in their scores a little later with the summaries.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's getting down to it.
Yeah,
and it's gonna be serious.
Yeah, so
and we're gonna find out what movie is the most epic Holly Jolly Christmas movie of 2023.
Exciting. And to get you guys ready, so for round 1, we are going to have Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas going against Naughty or Nice. So that is one showdown that we're looking at. And on the other side of the bracket, we are going to have Haul Out the Holly going against this current movie, Small Town Christmas. So those are the first 4 movies that we're looking at. That is round 1. So if you want to go and listen to those episodes, they are out so that you have an understanding of what they are. Or you can watch the movies. You can watch all 4. Hey, it's the Christmas season. So if you're feeling like, I need to watch some Christmas movies, watch those movies and
start. We'll see how it plays out.
Get ready for our first round.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Adriana.
Have a holly jolly day. Bye.